My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman. A weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon. Through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song.
You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we are back with Ammo O'Day.
Hello.
Joe Boobs Weldon.
Hi.
I've never said it like that before. That's fine.
That Joe Boobs Weldon. Boobs.
And Johnny Pork Pie.
Blabber, flabber,
blabber. Yes. Johnny, tell me about the Marx Fest.
Flabble, flabble, flabble. Mm. Well, Marx Fest is, I'm so glad you asked.
Oh, I could tell.
You seem so excited.
I'm really, no, I am excited because I spent the afternoon on Governor's Island.
Somebody has not slept.
Governor's Island.
You just got off a plane today, folks.
I got off a plane and a boat and a train.
Wow, and now you're here.
No, I spent the day on Governor's Island with three of the people who back in the old days, we produced Marx Fest, which was a celebration of the Marx Brothers, a month-long celebration, which had, I did, of course, a Marx Brothers-themed burlesque show. There was also a reconstruction of All Say She Is, which is the lost Marx Brothers Broadway musical, and talks like by Dick Cavett, and, you know, just a month of fun. And so we were looking at a spot to do an event in September celebrating the Marx Brothers on Governor's Island. There will be more info about that at marxfest.com.
Oh my gosh.
M as in Marxfest. A-S.
Oh my god.
Marx.
Okay, well, I hear you. And it sounds like segue time.
Mm.
Ammo, I'm with Magic.
Okay, so yes. So my show is on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's on Wednesdays at 6. It's called I'm with Magic. I have a co-host in Los Angeles who I Skype in, who's my one of my best friends of 20 years, who's a stylist and a designer in Hollywood. And basically, all of our guests have a magical inclination in some point in their life. So we've had on writers, astrologers, we've had on Velocity, we had on a nurse who is a... Basically, you can have a practical, like, normal muggle job and be a witch and be into that thing, or you can be a lifer, which is essentially, like, my business is called The Fitness Witch. I'm not hiding it from anyone.
No.
But there are a lot of people that, you know, have, you know, quote-unquote normal everyday jobs.
Well, they have to be in the closet about it.
They have to be in the closet.
Yeah.
It's not widely accepted.
Yeah, but, you know, so everybody, you know, so the idea is to just bring in all of these people who are experts in all sorts of witchcraft and occult subjects and how they incorporate it into their art or their daily life somehow. So it's pretty cool so far.
Yeah. And this is your first season.
My first season, yeah.
And you're live.
Yes. We are live.
Which is like fly by the seat of your pants, girl.
Very much so, because she's in LA, so the funny thing is, like, one of the things we do is we have the guest and we do like a tarot card of, you know, for the next week. We go over the moon cycles, the moon phases, and, you know, whatever. And then we'll review like a magical product, whether it's like makeup or whatever. And then we usually do a wine review if we get to it. And so she's on the other end.
A mead review?
Wine review.
Okay.
Well, we haven't done mead yet, but we
should.
Seriously. We should.
Well, come on.
We're going to have to do that now.
Invite me to that one, please. I haven't had mead in a
while. There's actually the best weed that I've ever had. Is
mead
actually,
or weed? You said
mead.
Okay. Did you hear weed? I heard weed.
I heard weed once.
She's actually allergic to weed. So she can't smoke weed.
Make sure it's just
poor,
mead.
Poor thing. So yes. It's mead. But there's a mead that I had at the Ren Fair that it's called Carol's Mead that's actually delicious that you can find in the East Village. It's actually, But so she's on the other side and she's got like these like hot pink, you know, headphones on, and she's just like got her wine, and I'm like fighting with a mixer board and trying to turn the air conditioner off, and the guest is sitting there, and she's just like, hello, and I'm like, yeah, I'm having a tech breakdown. Well, no, because we had a tech issue for a few weeks because there was a switchover of some equipment, and I was just like, am I? The best part was that I was having a retarded moment, and I couldn't hear her at all.
Like, a back ass words moment.
Yes, like, I mean, I just couldn't connect to my computer for whatever
that's
reason.
That's my exchange for it. I just say back ass words.
So I couldn't hear. We have theme music, and she's also attached to the laptop, and we couldn't hear either thing. And so I text the person who needs to fix it, and he literally appears and does exactly what I just did, and he's just like, and I'm like, but.
Ding.
It didn't work when I did it. I swear. And he was just like, you know, I was like, oh, well, just, well, now I look really retarded. But I swear I did exactly the same thing. But it's been fun so far. You know, we're working on different things, and we have an Instagram called On With Magic, too, and a Facebook page. And so it's slowly building into, you know, fun stuff. But, you know, we actually did a show alone last week because a guest at the last minute couldn't make it. And I felt like that was a really good idea for us because part of the dynamic that's so great is that we've known each other so long, and, you know, we refer to each other, we're like the Beavis and Butthead of females, like, we're just so, like, silly and stupid online, we're like 12-year-old boys, you know, and it's just, and our half the time we feel like we should be recording our normal phone conversations for the show, because we're like, people should be hearing this, you know, because when we have a guest, we're so concerned about the guest, like, our dynamic doesn't always come through, so you know, we're working through tweaks and stuff. It's been so fun so far.
And in light of all that, what is it like when someone else is trying to ride your broomstick?
Ugh. Okay. Well, so I have an issue, a small issue.
I think a lot of magic folk have this issue
with people. With the witchcraft thing being, I don't want to say I have an issue with it being fashionable, because I spent shitloads of money on black craft and Killstar clothing and things with pentagrams and onks and all this stuff. I have a problem with people acting like they're witches because it's a cool title.
Well, then you just call themselves that, and then
like there was a party that was, I mean, this party's long gone, but there was a bunch of years ago, like, I want to say like 4 or 5 years ago, I was living in Bushwick, and there was a party in the neighborhood that was called Witches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, I was like, that's cool, because it's, sure, you know, it's at that point, it was, you know, it's getting popularity. And then I was reading an article on, like, I just Googled it, and I was like, oh, let's see what this is about. And of course, everybody that goes to this thing is like, you know, could be my child. You know, not that that was the problem, but I was just like, you know, the different ideas of, you know, what we're doing. And then, but someone asked them in the interview, well, why did you call it Witches? Are you a witch? She's like, oh, no, I just thought it was a cool name. And I was like, excuse me? Like, people have been burned at the stake for calling themselves a witch, and you think it's a cool... It's not, I mean...
Well, who knows what she's manifesting now? Who knows where that impulse comes from?
Yeah, it's, you know... I mean, I definitely think that many, many people that come out of this quote-unquote fashionable trend will actually realize that there is something that they find there that is important to them, and that they actually embrace it, and they're like, holy shit, like, this is a real is a real thing for me that I didn't know. And, you know, the part of it is, you know, the love and hate relationship I have with the media and all the shows that I clearly love, like Harry Potter and, you know, like The Witch of the East End and Salem, and those are all fun and Coven and amazing. And I'm so happy that, like, I can watch all this stuff, but at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, it just brings all of this...
There's even witchcraft in the new TV series about William Shakespeare, the one called...
Oh, is there?
But there's witchcraft in Shakespeare.
No. The beauty of it is that they're not afraid to... They're exploring it.
I see.
Okay.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that at all yet.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I keep seeing the posters, and I'm like, But yeah, I just, you know, if I feel like if I just wish people would like look into it and realize that they're not. It's not something that's just like flippant.
I know what you mean, but I always feel like if people would start somewhere and they're not really...
I mean, it's going to fall off the trend, and everyone's going to go back to wearing Banana Republic. Like that South Park episode. That Ungroundable episode.
Yeah.
Where it's like they just burned down the Hot Topic, because that's where all the vampires come from.
Well, and Joe just pulled a witchy coup recently. You're like... going from Coney Island teacher to NYU.
Oh, yeah,
speaker.
Manifesting shit.
Yeah,
so
what's the title?
I teach the master class in burlesque at Coney Island every summer, and so I'm doing that. And then I'm going from that into teaching at NYU. I'm teaching at Playwrights Horizons, which is part of Tisch, which is part of NYU. So I'm teaching burlesque to third-year NYU students.
Wow.
So I like to think of it this way, right?
Wow.
And they're
awesome.
Too young to even go to burlesque shows.
Wow.
And I love it because it's like I stripped my way through college, and now I'm teaching stripping at a college.
Quite a gym.
And I feel like
college,
either
too.
Way, I was getting their parents' money.
What?
Dude, can I just high five you on that? That is...
Yeah.
Seriously,
so,
silly and awesome.
But it's, you know, it's really, it's actually, they've kind of been the savior of me a couple times. Like after the election, you know, the day after the election, I went into the classroom and there were 9 of them in there and they were all just sobbing. And I was my heart ached for them, but I also was like, oh my God, there's hope. Like they really care about this. You know, maybe somebody... not necessarily even one of them, be super inspired by this, you know, be driven by it, as horrible as that is. I don't know, it just gave me a feeling, such tenderness, because they were so affected.
Yeah.
You know, when I went in, I was feeling very affected, so. They do the burlesque, and they perform a show for the other students, and it's just... fascinating because most of the students that I teach burlesque to, burlesque is a big focus in their life, and for them it's part of their, it's an elective, it's part of their curriculum.
Like taking modern dance or something.
Yeah, I mean it's an advanced movement class, which is interesting because what I'm teaching is a way of, you know, partly I'm teaching a way of paying attention and a way of thinking about series of events in addition to, you know,
and connected to a large room full of people.
Uh-huh. And they're great. They do a great job.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll never forget you. Tell me about the having to go to that class for the first time after the election.
Yeah.
Just all these students crying and holding each other.
Yeah. And they put candy out for everybody. And I remember one of the students had been working for several weeks on a number, and she completely scrapped it, and in 1 week came up with another number that was like her expressing her feelings about the election.
Yeah, awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really powerful. And so I almost feel like I get more out of them than they get out of me, but you know, it's
I think
that's teaching, though.
That's, well, and it's all, we always self-examine too harshly. I think you'd be amazed, and you're very inspirational. I think of you as one of my mentors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I still run into those kids all the time because they're going to NYU, so I see them. You know, and I'm still teaching regular school of burlesque classes. So the regular school of burlesque is still going. You know, there's classes every week. There are classes every week, but...
Emma, have you ever brought your stripping nun act, for example, to one of Johnny Porkpie's shows?
I have not.
Really?
No, maybe I
at some point.
I don't think so.
And you started your stripping nun in the 90s.
Yeah, I actually got into a conversation with somebody at the bar last night about the Blue Angel. Because we realized we knew
Blue
all the
Angel
same
Cabaret,
people.
Yeah.
We were talking about, like, Baby Dolls, which is where I started, and then like Paradise Club, and like, oh shit. He's like, I don't know, Billy Joel.
I didn't realize the Pussycat Lounge was still open.
Is it still
still
open?
Got the same logo.
What? What? Is he, really?
I don't
know. We should go there for fun.
Oh my god.
Bring some dollar bills.
Yeah. Oh, we played it upstairs.
Well, I don't actually know if there are strippers there. I just saw a thing.
You got dressed in the kitchen.
Yeah, someone said they were bartending at the Pussycat Lounge when I looked at it, and it was that same logo, and I went, oh.
Oh, my God.
Because remember how stubborn the guy that owned that building was?
Yes.
Do you remember the women
He's
in the...
He's very grumpy to work for.
I know, but what's he going to do? He can't control anything.
I lasted a day.
They tried to set a schedule for us, and everybody just laughed. Yeah. Were you there when they had the dance? The women that worked at the pizza place next door were doing lap dances in the back of the pizza place.
No.
What?
What?
So you know, yeah. So you know, we don't do lap dances at the Pussycat, right? And
no, there's no
lap dances.
To do it.
So, right. So yeah. So there's just that weird.
Stage.
Wall of the stage, yeah.
There's a dressing room.
And then next door there was a pizza place. And they used to, yeah. Oh my god, I just wonder if someone hears this and they get arrested or something. I'm going to feel so bad.
No!
But so guys would leave us, you know, after tipping us,
and
go
to
the pizza
parlor
and get a lap dance in the kitchen.
And have
I love the sex industry.
It's like I could have pizza and a lap dance.
But only New York City does it get that creative.
Oh no, it gets that creative. Oh my god, when I was touring, I worked at this place called Frank's Chicken House, which was in Somerset, New
Frank's
Jersey.
Frank's Chicken House.
Frank's Chicken House. And it had a picture of a girl in a champagne glass, and it said "Home of the Real Strippers," which is whatever.
Oh,
I mean, they all say that, right? And
is
it,
would you compare it like to Daddy's on Bourbon Street with the legs flying out the window?
No, it's right next to a Kmart, so guys would park their guys at the park their cars at the Kmart, so nobody could see where their car in front of the place. Although everybody knew that the Kmart was the parking lot,
right?
Like,
yes.
Be real. So they would come in and they would get a Fanta, grape or orange, and a drumstick, a fried chicken drumstick. And they would come and they would sit at the pussy bar and eat that drumstick while you... And it was one of those places where you walk on the stage, you take off your clothes, you lay down and you open your legs. And so you'd have this guy like... No, and you'd be laying at the edge of the stage with your legs open, and there's a guy just starting to eat a
drumstick at the pussy bar.
It was fantastic.
I don't know. And it was like a juice bar, so it was fully nude.
Fully nude.
That's why it's called
Spread
Drumstick
Eagle,
at the pussy bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when I was doing feature acts, because I was a headliner, they would be like, why is she doing anything?
How do they... every different club has their own etiquette of tipping. How did... the clients tip you at the drumstick pussy bar?
In the hand, which was a little weird because it's like, because you know how dirty money is and they're eating. It's a little gruesome, but that's not my
problem.
Well,
when I was at Paradise Club, they were like fucking crazy. They were like, you have to take it. I remember their Russian manager was like, you take the tips between your tits.
Yeah.
You know, I remember like,
I've worked in those places.
My first week of working there, I had a big rash.
Uh-huh. Yeah, money is filthy. With people like, can I brush your pussy with that dollar?
Oh, my God. No.
And then
that's why you wipe the pole down. It's not even about the other previous girl's pussy. It's really about the dollar bills.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, I admit it. Like, if I had a whole shower of money, I would roll around in the money. I don't care. Because I want to know that we're, like, rolling around in the money.
That's a dream.
Really.
Yeah.
But there was another place.
I had a really old man make it rain on me once like that. It was fucking insane.
Isn't it fun? Just
it was
rolling
very
around
fun.
In money.
It was ridiculous. I didn't see it coming too, so it was like a surprise party. It was like, oh, wow, hey. There's this old guy showering all this money on my naked body.
There was another place.
I'll take that.
Thank you,
my God. I love it. There was another place, I think it was in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of it, but I was headlining, and so people were doing Polaroids with me. This is before digital cameras.
Oh no, in the old school days. Mm-hmm. I had some Polaroids with me and Belladonna together. So.
Exact same thing.
Same mojo.
So we weren't allowed to do. I wasn't allowed to be topless in the bar. It was a bikini bar, and they still had to be 3 feet from me. So in order to do the Polaroids with their arms around me, we had to go into the parking lot. Because in New York, it is legal to be topless outside. So there's like a grocery store across
I heard about
the street.
This titty parade, apparently.
Oh, I'm playing it. Fogo Azul is playing the topless parade.
I just heard about this thing through Ammo.
Yeah.
I don't mean to digress from the...
No, I mean, that was the story.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, I was topless in the parking lot because I couldn't be topless in the bar.
Well, I guess it's,
I could
the
be
titty parade
is
a good segue.
Joint.
Shit. Okay. Well, do you know about the titty parade, Joe?
No, I don't know about the titty parade.
And
yeah,
tell us, educate us.
Okay, there's supposedly... It's funny because I'm the one that's not really burlesquing anymore. And I'm the one that knows about the topless okay. parade. Yeah, there's supposedly an annual... I don't know how many years it's been going on, but a parade... Like, pretty much celebrating the law in New York that we can be topless.
Mm-hmm.
And my all-female Afro-Brazilian drumline is playing it. And
they wanted some dancers to, like,
rock
alongside
the drumline.
We
wanted some burlesque people to... We spoke to Tigger, so Tigger's on it.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Good. He'll definitely hook you up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So...
That's
well, because we're an all-female band, we almost thought it might be funnier to have, like, an all-male...
How many drummers are in this group?
There's... At any given show, there's approximately between 40 and 60, usually.
Wow. So
I know, I've seen it, but I can't remember where.
That's a lot of bumming.
We do all the parades, so it's fine, the Mermaid Parade, Halloween Parade, like,
yeah,
like
I'm
March.
Sure. Did you all do a thing in front of Joe's Pub? Am I remembering?
Yes.
That I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
When is this topless parade?
I think it's in a few weeks. I don't have the exact date.
All right, Google
it,
folks.
In my head.
New York City topless parade.
The annual topless parade.
I think I'll be there for fucking shits and giggles. I'm not going to guarantee I'm going to boogie woogie the whole way down. I'll probably just like...
Well, no, I just hop in, hang out with us for a little while.
Wave
and
it around and run out.
Yeah. Why not? The more the merrier. Well, you know, it's funny because I, you know, because these people, the people that are in my band don't really know me that well. And, you know, there was like a Google group going around about like, should we do this parade? And I was like, actually, I think we should do that. Because there was people that were like, no, you know, we're proving that we're powerful women by playing drums. And I was like, excuse me. I'm like, as a former sex worker, and I'm sure half of them are like,
well, you felt it. It always happens.
But
yeah,
I was like, but I mean, I'm just saying, over right. this huge email list, I'm like, I made a point. So I was like, listen, as a former sex worker, I think we should do this. We're women. We need to support women regardless of whether we agree with their decisions or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should do it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the band director was like, yeah, we should do it.
Yeah. And how do you, Joe Boobs and Ammo, weigh in on the... pointy hat.
Oh, I'm down with the
issue
hat.
That shocked me tonight. I didn't even know that was an issue. Apparently now, if you're a witch, card-carrying witch, or well, whoever you are, if you're wearing a pointy hat, suddenly you are slandering an age-old.
Oh, I don't even know what the argument is.
It's
like,
so
don't
silly.
Wear that hat.
I'm
like,
just trying
to. I'm a witch. I'm
wearing
that.
It. I love a pointy hat.
I love a pointy hat.
Well,
I'm not offended.
And I'm okay
I'm a witch.
To be
I'm
a cartoon witch as part of my witchiness.
Yeah, of course. Come on.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
it's
I had, you know, and as
a
someone
huge
who
part
is
of our history.
Gardnerian initiated, I don't have any problem with people wearing pointy hats. I think we should all have pointy hats.
Yeah, and I feel it when I'm wearing it. I feel like I can do this. I don't have to be afraid of this. Whether you think it's real or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. I'm happy on the point here.
There you go.
I feel very comfortable.
And you should feel good.
I feel good. I feel relaxed.
And Joe, where can we find you online?
JoeWeldon.com. Just JoeWeldon.com.
Sweet. And
I am trying to get the fuck off of Facebook, so please don't. Please don't Facebook me.
Oh,
I hate Facebook.
I
ruined
Instagram.
My life. I hate it.
I prefer Instagram.
Facebook is.
I like Instagram. I mean, you can get
it's
into some shit on Instagram,
feels,
but
it's
so much
innocent.
Rarer.
It feels more way more innocent.
Oh, it definitely is.
And Johnny Corkpie, anything you'd like to bring to this conversation before we bring it to a close?
I don't like pointy hats.
You like
you don't have
pie.
To wear one.
Well, pork pies are as flat as you can get. Come on, of course.
No, no, the top hats are flatter. Pork pies have the divot, so they look like a pork pie.
Okay.
Hence the name.
So it's the inverted pointy hat, is what you're saying.
I don't. That would embed itself in
totally
your head. What the?
It's awesome.
Huker blarfer.
Blarfer. Blarf for a fucking pool. What?
Blarf. Blarb.
So, where do we find you?
Napping.
The world.
I will be
what would you
sleeping
like? Anything
in
you would
my
like
bed?
To promote? Anything you would like to share?
No.
No crazy backstage stories from your past.
Well, there was this one time I was backstage with this really hot woman, and she texted me that there were rooms available in this hotel.
Is this the Carlton Arms Hotel?
Yeah, Carlton Arms.
Because that's one of my favorite booty call joints.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Yes.
I love, and I'm always surprised when people have been in New York for 10 or 20 years
and
they don't know about it.
Every room
I've
you're inside a painting. It's incredible. Yeah.
And I was in there one night, and I had a ghost.
Of course you did.
I had a ghost.
You know,
and the next day,
the next day,
I went to the counter and I go, "Has anybody ever said anything about that room being?" And they said haunted.
Room?
And they said,
"Can you tell me which room it is?" I'm curious.
No. I don't remember. This is back when I was
curious.
Was doing centerfold.
Might have been repainted since.
Oh, definitely, because this is 1992.
Rotate the themes of the rooms.
It was 1991 or 92, back when I was Tanya Hyde. And so the guy behind the counter says, "Oh, no, usually the ghosts are on the second floor."
You know, the funny thing is, I actually ran into that photo of me from our Vulgaris shoot.
You,
my hair was
I
exactly.
A few photo shoots for our band Vulgaris at that.
My hair was.
They
exactly
had my
like
picture up
time.
There. I was their resident, like, porn star or whatever. I don't know what they thought I was.
You were just beautiful. They were happy you were there.
They were sweet. I love them.
And they have that kitty cat. I don't know if
what
you still
that was.
That.
No, we're talking 25 years ago.
Oh. I'm talking 10 years ago. That's my last
yeah,
memory
this
of it.
Where
is it
really not be
in
the same
20s?
Cat?
It's in the 20s. Like, would you say Murray Hill, Gramercy
25th.
Park area? Gramercy.
25th.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure it was still there.
East 20s. East 20-something.
Fifth. Yeah.
Anyway, that was the last time we failed to break up.
That's true.
Shit.
And I was like, let's
do
go there for my birthday.
The room, pork pie?
What was the theme of that?
Let's fly away.
Was it leopard print?
No.
It
says, "Let's fly away." That was the theme of the room.
Oh. We sang that song. We actually sang several different songs.
Fly away with me.
I don't know if it's that one.
Was the like, "Come fly away"?
It sticks.
That's where I was going.
And then
like,
"Fly me to the moon."
I hate that song. I have a weird sticks thing.
I have a weird sticks thing too.
I mean, I do an act to Mr. Roboto.
I remember that act. I was telling someone about that act.
I'm pulling it out for the Trump dump in September.
You're kidding.
I'm gonna do a Trump version.
As Ivanka, right?
I tell people about that act, and they're like, "Is it online?"
She's
and I'm like, "No,
Ivanka's
it's not online.
It's not online.
It's too cool to be online." Like, "Oh, are you gonna audition for the fucked up festival of burlesque?"
Are you
that?
Available for that date, by the way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let me know.
Okay. Because I'm not.
No, you're doing some.
I'm
things.
In
you're
flux.
Making some moves.
I'm in flux.
You're
you
doing
some
things behind the scenes and stuff right now. I know.
Yeah. I read my Rob Bresny today, and it said that I was
ooh.
About to.
I miss him. I haven't read
oh
that in a while.
Oh my God! How does he do it? And he said, "You're about to have some kind of jailbreak." Yes.
Oh my God.
You
should have seen her face.
You can use your phone with other carriers now.
Is
All I could think about is like, I'm getting off of Facebook.
Where do you find him these days? Yeah.
RobBresney.com.
Oh, it's just his own website.
But the only sad thing is...
He used to always be in the back of the Village Voice. He's not in the Village Voice anymore.
No. I just got his... book Pronoia, which is
I don't own it, but I've seen it. It's good.
I need to look into that.
It's like, you know, the opposite of the feeling that the world is conspiring against you is the world is conspiring to do good things for you.
For you.
Yeah.
With you.
It's good things
cool
for
book.
You.
I need to, actually that reminds me. I need to
Pronoia. It's beautiful. And it's very compassionate and it's very inward looking. You know what I mean? It's very nice. It's huge, though. It's
I
hard,
seriously
to
get
hard to balance
totally
on your stomach.
Cut of my jib. Thank you.
Do the thing. Do the thing. Do the Rob Bresney thing.
Pronoia by Rob Bresney.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The funny thing is, the person who, the only other person I know that owns that book, I contacted them on Facebook, and I haven't spoken to them in 4 years, and they popped in my head because I was watching a movie, and this actress looked like her, and I just randomly texted her, and she's the only other person that has ever mentioned that book to me.
Really?
Very strange. It was like last night or the night before.
That reminds me of an interesting thing I've been doing, rather than going on Facebook, which is texting my friends. And then sometimes we call, and then we do this weird thing where we, like, go somewhere and have food.
Like this?
Really?
Yeah.
Really, you hang out in person?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been really interesting because it doesn't suck.
No,
it doesn't suck,
like,
and you're not
unlike
just sitting
Facebook,
there.
It doesn't suck.
Man, it's weird. I just sit there on Facebook and go, oh my god, everybody's lost their mind.
Oh yeah.
Facebook was its agent of its own destruction with me, because they did any of you get that like quiz they sent out, that like how are we doing quiz?
Oh, ew. No. I just pressed the X on the corner.
Well, so
yeah,
I decided to try and do it. And it asks questions like, you know, is Facebook making your life better?
Hell no.
And it was like, agree or strongly disagree.
Oh, God.
Do you think Facebook is making the world a better place? Strongly disagree. And I go through this and it's like, wow, this is horrible. Not only is it horrible in my life, I think it's horrible for the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I stopped using Facebook, after they sent me a poll asking how they were doing.
I was thinking about this the other day. So Facebook was originally a hot or not site, right? You would put two faces up of two college freshmen, and they would say,
well, it was
hot
girls.
Or not. Or
it was
two
girls
things.
Only
they started out hot or not, and then they went to, they would post two people, and you would pick which was hotter. So it is a website designed on superficial judginess, and it has maintained that standard. What?
Much like Tinder.
Yeah, but at least you get laid on that.
Yeah, but at
true.
Least people don't think that they're doing
direct.
The Lord's work on Tinder.
Show God.
They're probably
Jesus
much
Christ.
Closer to doing the Lord's work on Tinder. And so it's that thing, it's like it was designed for judging. It was designed to be a superficial judging machine, and it works.
It's frightening. It's like reality TV.
I heard a quote I recently liked, which was, shame is a tool of the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good quote.
Yep.
I love that.
Very true. Well, I just read a really interesting piece about how people having intergroup conflicts replicate the dynamics of supremacy. And I feel like Facebook does that very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people just make millions of dollars off of us as we just think we're going about our business.
I forgot who said this quote. I wish I could remember right now in this moment, but the quote's clear in my head. Censorship will always be the last resort of the bigot and the boob.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but a lot of people are using the word censorship incorrectly.
Yeah,
they're using
like
censorship
as
a synonym for
just
criticism.
Just like they're using the word alternative and right incorrectly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, don't censor me. I'm like, I didn't censor you. I told you you were a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I exercise my right of free speech to respond to your free speech. If you would like to continue, we can continue to use our free speech to debate, which is the purpose of having free speech.
I don't remember who said it, but freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences.
Exactly.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes.
Exactly.
I was thinking this.
Yes.
I'm like, own it. If you say it, own it.
Yeah.
If you can't control what comes out of your mouth,
what you mean,
you're going to get shit for it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're out of control.
Exactly. Or, you know, the other thing is like, you know, I don't drink, right?
I wish Trump would do that.
He'll never do that. This is the thing, like, I don't drink. And then late at night, people are having these heated conversations. Like, why aren't you participating in this heated conversation? Your silence is deafening. I'm like, because I'm sober and you're drunk.
You mean on Facebook?
On Facebook. I was like, I can tell by the way you're typing. I can tell by the tone of your sentence
you're
that you're
slurring
wasted.
You're typing.
And I don't...
Never
and
drink
I'm
and
sober.
Comment, folks.
I'm not a... No, I'm not criticizing
Never
their
comment,
drinking.
Never comment, folks.
I don't know. Drinking and commenting is dumb.
Yeah. Never go on
That's
Facebook.
Like drinking and texting.
I am so grateful that I was a drunk asshole before the internet. If people had receipts for my old shit, this is why I tend not to judge people.
Dude, I used to be so fucking stupid.
I wasn't just stupid. I was mean and evil.
Dumb.
Oh, I was such a bad person. Oh. So, I'm not saying I'm not now, but I've got a little bit under control. So there's that thing of like people say, so-and-so did a thing, they're a bad person, and I'm sitting there thinking, I did such a thing.
I'm just so glad that my entire, like, earlier life is not on the internet.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, girl, I gave up on LiveJournal years ago.
Like, I can't even imagine.
I got into shit on, like, see, I've been addicted to the internet for 30 years.
I can't imagine being like a teenager or a 20-something person and dealing
and not
with
knowing your filter yet.
Yeah.
Not having it fully developed.
And having it like spewing out of every orifice on the internet. And then there's always a record of it.
Or going through your first breakup on the internet.
Oh my God. Thank God I didn't.
You know how many people I see? They're like, just this son
this
of a bitch, like
the
on the internet. I'm like, oh my God, are you ripping your ex-boyfriend an asshole on Facebook?
Yeah.
Like, oh wow.
But Judy. See, I would have done that in my 20s.
I'm sure I would have done
I
it too.
I totally would have. There'd still be stuff about, I'm thinking about a particular ex. Our whole shit would have been, like, because I see stuff like, you know, like Taylor Swift and whoever she's dating are fighting on
mm-hmm.
Twitter, and I'm like, or Katy Perry and who I don't know who these people are in a way. Like, I know they have relationships.
God, me neither.
Well, I'm fascinated by them, but I don't have time. So it's like the kind of thing of like, they're having their feuds. They don't need journalists to cover it, but then journalists do. So it happens on Twitter where everyone can see it, and then journalists write articles about what happens on Twitter.
It's amazing.
There are more articles about what happens on Twitter than on what happens on Facebook.
I'm actually really glad that I'm so out of the loop in terms of pop stars. Like, my friend posted the other day, he's like, oh, I can't fucking believe that guy was on Game of Thrones. And I was like, who? Who was on Game of Thrones?
There's so many guys.
And they're like, oh, well, there was a British pop star on Game of Thrones.
That everybody hates.
And I was like, which one? And he's like, you should be happy that you don't know which one it is, because it would have ruined it for you.
It's Game of Thrones.
Supposedly, all of these famous people have been on Game of Thrones, and I've been completely out of the loop.
Because you're like, if Justin Bieber was on Game of Thrones, I'm like, oh, gross. Are you fucking kidding me?
But how old is his being famous now? You know what I mean?
Justin Bieber. That dates your datedness.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's...
No,
he's old now.
Justin
Bieber's old.
Oh, I know. He's
not as old as me, but he's
not as old as Britney Spears either.
I mean, he's still too young for me, but he's old.
Hey, but he ain't no Donna Summer, honey.
Well, who
and
is?
On that note,
who
let's
is
raise...
Donna Summer?
No.
Nobody's Donna Summer.
I'll raise my
empty
glass.
Bless her, Christian. Cheers. Yes, rest in peace.
And let's hear the tested George Romero.
Wait,
George Romero.
Oh my God.
May he rise.
Oh shit. Yes. Rise from the dead, young soul.
Oh my God.
We were playing his movies last night.
Yeah, sure love him.
I love you guys, and thank you for being here.
Thank you
for having us.
Rock my Casbah.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. Some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see. To my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact. Half my life, I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Hillary. nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah.
Went on just as usual. Let me think. Mr. Rabbit, have you seen Dinah, my cat? She was at the edge of this hole.
Oh,
Dream.